Hannah Stanley, this is Girls Night Out on WGN, and today we can call it Mom's Night Out because we're focusing tonight on educational television and things that are great for our kids, things we grew up with when we were kids, and I am thrilled and honored to welcome Mr. Carol Spinney to my studio. For those who are unaware, and I don't know how you could be, but you know this man if you don't know him. He's the puppeteer behind Big Bird, behind Oscar the Grouch. I am thrilled to talk to you because you have been an influence on so many generations, not just so many people, so many generations of people.
It just seems amazing because it doesn't feel like 40, actually I've take 46 years of it so far. One hasn't been seen yet. It'll be seen in the fall, starting on HBO, I guess.
That's recently been announced. I actually watched it just the other day, 4,500 plus episodes.
Yes.
No one has watched them all. You've been in them all. But what you guys have done and how it's evolved is really what I want to talk about. You approached this to be a puppeteer and you've created these characters. But what you do and how well it's developed, I was on the website, and the thought that goes into the development and the resources that are available for educators and parents to reinforce what's being taught on the shows. How far in advance are the episodes planned out?
Well, we finished taping in December of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they won't show until October of this year.
So
there's a lot of work.
A full year.
It takes generally 2 to 3 months to create just one of the scripts. There's an awful lot of work done on rewrites and second drafts, third drafts. And even a few days before we start to actually tape it, they are revising.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not involved with that part. But I must say, I kind of got to know Big Bird from the inside out.
Of course you did.
And Oscar, too. So I kind of feel his life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in the character. It's different than being animation, I think, because you're just sitting there in an empty studio, and I'm in it, struggling to have him look right. At the same time, I'm saying the words.
Certainly, to make sure that the lessons come across properly.
Yes.
And that he's emotionally connecting with what he's supposed to be learning.
Yes. So I've kind of lived the life of a six-year-old bird who remains six. That's not very realistic. But he's not they often ask me, what kind of bird is he? I just say, well, big.
he's six. He's a toddler-ish. He's a grade schooler.
But it makes me the world's oldest child star.
Yes. And you haven't turned out poorly, which is excellent.
No, I haven't gotten into trouble at all.
No, you haven't gone down that wayward path or a flight, as it might be, for Big Bird. Now, when you guys all started, and this has been 4 decades at least, who else was doing this? Was Sesame Street absolutely the innovators, or was there someone ahead of you?
They were the innovators, and they hired Jim Henson. A lot of people think that he created the show. He didn't. He never claimed he did. But he was hired. John Stone, who was one of the developers and creators and directors and writers and producers, he said, I think the show really needs to have some puppets on it. And the only puppets would be Jim Henson's Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called Jim Henson, who was not too eager to start with to do kids' show. He wanted to do stuff that grown-ups like, kind of scary, pulling noses off and blowing people up. Funny, blowing monsters up.
So. Yeah.
But he get talked into it, which is a good thing. And I was just lucky enough when he was scouting for a puppeteer. They asked Jim always worked with Frank Oz,
mm-hmm.
who was a fabulous puppeteer and an incredibly creative man. He's already had struggle in a character called Shred. No, I forget which, but he played other characters based somewhat on Big Bird, where it's half costume, but from the neck up, it's a puppet. Because
mm-hmm.
That's Big Bird. So, so that was the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he already had developed Ernie and Bert for the film. But they needed some other things, so He thought he'd always wanted to build a big goofy bird based on the dragon and other characters he'd had. Frank Oz didn't want to do it. He didn't want to work every day. He was a sculptor at the time, and he's also a creative. He's now a great director.
Mm-hmm.
So he also thought that he would have a grouch because there was a restaurant he liked to go to called Oscar's. It was a seafood restaurant, and there was a very grouchy waiter there. And Jim said, "Gee, I'm sorry he's not here today because I want you to meet the guy who I'm basing Oscar on. His grouchiness is so grouchy, it's kind of funny." So that's how he came up with the ideas. And so they built the characters around me, and went on the air hardly knowing what I was doing. And I said, what's Bird going to be like? And they said, well, why don't you think of it as maybe Mortimer Snurd, like Edgar Bergen's other character beside Charlie McCarthy. And some kind of a country yokel. And think of Mickey Mouse's pal Goofy. And Ed Big Bird sounded like, oh, hi there. Here I am, I'm Big Bird. And he could have said, I'm a purple dinosaur.
Yes, that does sound like that.
So we were doing the show just a short while. I don't know how long, because it's over 45 years ago. And I said, you know, I think that maybe he should be a child. A script had come along where it would make more sense if Big Bird was a kid than just a goofy guy hanging around the kids. This way he could be one of the children.
Mm-hmm.
And also he could be a child who could make some points in development and the stories that we wanted to do. And so they liked my suggestion, and we went for it. And I frankly think the bird might not have even been there now if he hadn't become a child.
It makes sense to have children learn from other kids and have Big Bird as a child learn those lessons,
yes,
and have Oscar be the grouch and have him be a foil of how we want them to behave.
Right. And he also kind of represents, it takes all kinds to make a world. And I've had several women point out how important Oscar was to them, because I used to question his presence, even though I enjoyed doing him,
mm-hmm,
and I still do. It seemed like he. Why is he on the show? He's so rude and irritable. Well, I had a woman say to me, "You know, Oscar changed my life." I said, "Really? It's really? No, he really actually changed my life in a very positive way." I said, "How was that possible?" And she said that she grew up in a house with four very strong adults who ran everything, and including her life. And so she wasn't allowed to watch TV. She never even saw Sesame Street. She was very ordered in her life, what they decided. So one day she found herself alone in the house. Nobody was there. It was a rare moment. She was 12, and so she immediately eyeballed that TV and said, "I'm going to turn it on." And she turned it on. And she saw, one of the things she early saw was Oscar talking to some adult saying no. And
oh,
she said, "I didn't know you could say no to an
she
adult."
She didn't know she could stand up for herself.
So she decided from that moment on she would be, the no would be part of her vocabulary. And so that was voiced as soon as they got home, and they met a very different young lady. And she said, "That changed my life. I became me that day. I realized I was giving myself permission to be the person I really wanted to be. And the schools they had in mind for me were none of my interests. What they wanted me to do was none of that." And she didn't tell me what she actually did. She looked extremely intelligent. I think she probably might have been a writer or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many ways you can go. Mostly, she got to be herself, which I thought, Oscar, I'm glad you were able to do that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story, and probably has played over hundreds and thousands of times in various degrees.
Yes.
Throughout these decades. Recently, and I will say recently because I have started rewatching it over the past few years, I had it almost in three generations. I watched it when I was a young child, and then I watched it when my brother, who was 13 years younger than I was, I rewatched it then, and then now I watch it with my children. And I've noticed how incorporated the current music and artists and theater is. Yeah. There's a 10-minute segment on Les Miserables on how you shouldn't overeat sweets. And there's Macklemore is in, which was something that was with Oscar the Grouch. When did that start? Or has it always been and I just never picked up on it?
Well, I think it kind of started right from the beginning, because one of the decisions when they realized how they're going to put the show together, and they gathered some writers, and one of them suggested, and it probably was John Stone, that they keep it very humorous so that grown-ups will not want to leave the room. And so there's humor and irony behind the writing that only grown-ups perhaps might recognize.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the stories are fun and for the kids to hear and listen to and follow. And some of my mail from people were really showed that that was so. And by Big Bird being a child, I was able to open some doors. I got a wonderful letter from Saskatchewan, mm-hmm. once from, and she heard her little boy, who was 4, I think, crying. Little Christopher was crying in the living room. He said, "Why are you whimpering?" She says, "Well, he's Big Bird's like me. His brothers and sisters were all older than him, and they were all off to school. He was by himself on the farm, alone, and he wanted other children around." And so she wrote me a letter about that. And I thought, how nice that I could influence a child in Canada or anywhere, mm-hmm. By his example. Big Bird was all alone because he happened, and the kids in his neighborhood were all older and in school.
Right, so that he was able to understand he wasn't alone because someone else was like him.
Yes, and I've had others... an awful lot of children kind of write letters and say, "Dear Big Bird, you're my best friend. Please come and play with me." Aww. "How about next Thursday?" one of them said.
What an influence you have had on generations and generations of kids and adults, because I watch it now and I get sucked in. It's not, yes. It is, Sesame Street is not a babysitter in my house. Sesame Street is something that we talk about, and it comes up later in the day. And it's something that I know what they're watching so that I understand how to incorporate those lessons.
Well, my daughter, Jessie, was 12, and she said, "Dad, I don't watch Sesame Street anymore. It's kind of aimed below me." I said, "No, that was the purpose." But then 2 years later, she said, "You know, my friends and I are starting to watch Sesame Street. I'm getting the jokes."
Right.
And she...
Yes.
I know. She didn't... because the sophistication that's in the writing... We have some of the writers write Broadway plays, and they write our show, too.
It is higher level at... And what I love about it is, especially when there's theater that's incorporated, it introduces them to the music and the stylings so that when I take my kids to the theater, that's something that they're accustomed to.
Yeah.
And they get it, and they can almost say, "Oh, I've heard this before."
Right. Because an awful lot of classic stuff or good grown-up stuff is all... It has a shared sophistication with our culture, you know, and it's kind of interesting that it was a good demonstration of the fact that the show was aimed at both grown-ups and children at the same time. And it works very well. They found the right formula for that.
They absolutely did. If you have not watched it in a while, I cannot encourage it enough for grown-ups or your children in your life. Also, please do yourself a favor and go to PBS.org and the Sesame Street site and realize what is available for resources to help reinforce these lessons and help you learn how to create teachable moments on your own. Carol Spinney is in town. It is Wizard World.
Yes,
and you will be doing appearances tomorrow, Sunday.
And that's I really enjoy meeting the people who are true fans. And I like to chat a little bit with each of them about the stories of or how parts of it have influenced them or whatever they wanted to talk about. And I have fun talking with them. I get so many wonderful real stories because that it has influenced so many lives.
It has to be incredibly enriching and validating that you've spent your life doing this, and it actually touches people.
Yes, to make a difference and still make a living at it. And I'm doing what I did as a child. I did puppet shows starting when I was 8, but not regularly till I was 12. And
slacker.
Yeah. No, I didn't get any work. My brothers wouldn't watch. They said, oh, that's a stupid show.
We're done with that. And then you started getting sophisticated in your humor. Carol Spinney, what an honor and a pleasure to welcome you. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you. It was fun to talk with you.
We'll be back on WGN Girls Night Out after this.